It's Lake Effect. I'm Mitch Teich. Today marks the 12th anniversary of the terrorist attacks that crashed airplanes into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and killed thousands. On the 10th anniversary, we aired an extended piece by Lake Effect essayist Linda Benjamin, which we're bringing back for today's show. It's called New Yorker in Milwaukee, September 11th, 2001.
My husband and I had moved to Milwaukee from New York for his work. And though I had no family in Milwaukee, my cousin Carol from Urbana, Illinois, came out to visit me. She came by around breakfast time, and we walked outdoors into a lovely, balmy, Indian summer kind of Wisconsin day. We had our breakfast near where I lived then, not far from the Downer Theater, Schwartz's Bookstore, Einstein Bagels, Starbucks, and Sendix. Carol and I returned from Einstein's with leftovers for my son Dan, who was living with me and my husband as he took his pre-med classes at UWM. And just as we entered the apartment, my phone rang. It was my husband. He didn't say hello, and I don't recall his saying my name. He said the following: "Josh probably isn't at work yet." A total non sequitur. How strange, I thought. Why does he care whether Josh was at work yet, and why would I care? My older son Josh had finished his New York stockbroker's exams and landed a job with an investment firm. He'd been working on Wall Street for only a day. Why would my husband be concerned about when Josh got to work? Josh had a great work ethic. He'd be at work on time, or even, knowing him, early. I answered, "No, it's almost 9 o'clock in New York. Josh would be at work. Why are we talking about Josh's work? What's up?" "Turn on the TV," my husband said. "An airplane accidentally crashed into the World Trade Center." I dropped the phone and called to my cousin, "Turn on the TV!" First, there was a never-ending loop of a plane crashing into the World Trade Center's North Tower. My younger son, Dan, now awake, came out of the bedroom. "What's going on?" he said, still in his pajamas and rubbing his eyes. The two of us, Carol and I, managed to mumble something like, "A plane's at the World Trade Center. We don't know what's going on or where Josh is." Dan said, "Oh, Josh's office is far away from there." I didn't realize I hadn't been breathing until I heard myself let out a long breath. Then the second plane hit the South Tower. The three of us, Carol, Dan, and me, now all parked on the futon in front of the television set, jumped in our seats. The second plane was proof that this was no accident. Was this a war? A war happening in New York with Josh there and me in Milwaukee? My cousin began to sob. As for me, I was no longer in my body. I was inside my head, chanting, praying, figuring, "Josh isn't there. I know he isn't. Josh is alive. I would feel it if he weren't." But I was terrified by the possibility that I could be wrong. The phone rang. I froze in my seat. Should I answer? This could be the call that ends life as I know it, a call that tells me something I don't ever want to hear. "Josh, Josh," I prayed, "be safe. I missed him already." I picked up the phone. "Hello, Mom," I heard. "Oh, my God, it's you." It was Josh, and the tears started coming. "Are you okay?" I said. "Yes, but we saw everything from the roof of our building, and they're telling us to stay here in the building. I'm not sure what I should do yet." I said, "Follow your instincts. If your instincts say to go, then go, whatever they say." "Where are you? How far away are you?" Josh said, "I'm on Liberty, a block and a half away." I looked over at Dan. Josh said, "I love you." I said, "I love you too, honey." My dad always used to tell me and tell my sister, almost like a mantra, "Take care of my girl." I said, "Take care of my boy." "I'm using someone's cell phone. I got to get off," he said. "I think I'm going to run," he said. "Trust yourself," I said, "and then, and be careful." He hung up. I wanted to beam him over or beam myself over there to comfort him. I think it was around then that the towers collapsed. My cousin Carol decided to go home. People like to be around their families when they feel frightened. To think that one ordinary Indian summer day in Wisconsin could turn into the tragedy of the decade in my New York, and my son could be there while I was here. As we came to learn, thousands lost their lives, and thousands more were to be lost in Iraq. My son later told me he and a bunch of other people ran through the smoke of the collapsed buildings. They ran along the water towards New York's Greenwich Village, coughing and trying to outrun the dust and debris aftermath of the tower's collapse. All the subways were shut down, so Josh couldn't get back to Queens, where his apartment was, until late that night, At least he was alive. After Josh's call, I took my New Yorker shopping cart and went to Sendex, right down the street, to buy canned goods and bottled water. This is what New Yorkers do in an emergency. At least walking back and forth to Sendex, stocking up on canned goods, felt less disempowering. Oddly, it felt as if I were doing something. I don't think all of it really sank in until years later. I should have visited my son after 9/11, but when we heard the stories about people who were on the suicide planes, I became terrified to fly. In my head, I would see myself on a plane with terrorists, and I just couldn't go anywhere. Sometimes I wonder, if 9/11 hadn't happened, would things have turned out differently in our little lives? If I had known that his stepfather and I would divorce, would I have overcome my fear and been in New York with Josh, at least to be comforting after his trauma and the loss of his job? And if I had, would things be different now? After the World Trade Center attack, my son Josh couldn't find a job here in the States. So he moved to Spain and then to France, where he lives now, 10 years later. Whenever I miss him, and I miss him a lot, I tell myself, at least he's alive. I have to be glad of that. September 11th was a day of mass mourning. Some lives were changed in large and tragic ways on that day and in the 10 years that followed. My life and the life of my son Josh were changed in more subtle, almost imperceptible ways. Oddly, I remember a dream I had before Josh was born. The dream was that I had a son with an unusual name. Back then, no one heard the name Josh. I dreamt that there was a huge explosion, but that my son survived it. In my dream, there was something else, but I don't remember what. Some other loss the explosion had brought. Take two, New Yorker in Milwaukee, September 11th, 2001. My husband and I had moved to Milwaukee from New York for his work. And though I had no family in Milwaukee, my cousin Carol from Urbana, Illinois, came out to visit me. She came by around breakfast time, and we walked outdoors into a lovely, balmy, Indian summer kind of Wisconsin day. We had our breakfast near where I lived then, not far from the Downer Theater, Schwartz's Bookstore, Einstein Bagels, Starbucks, and Sendex. Carol and I returned from Einstein's with leftovers for my son Dan, who was living with me and my husband, as Dan took his pre-med classes at UWM. And just as we entered the apartment, my phone rang. It was my husband. He didn't say hello, and I don't recall his saying my name. He said the following, "Josh probably isn't at work yet." A total non sequitur. How strange, I thought. Why does he care whether Josh was at work yet, and why would I care? My older son, Josh, had finished his New York stockbroker's exams and landed a job with an investment firm. He had been working on Wall Street for only a day. Why would my husband be concerned about when Josh got to work? Josh had a great work ethic. He'd be at work on time, or even knowing him, early. I answered, "No, it's almost 9 o'clock in New York. Josh would be at work. Why are we talking about Josh's work? What's up?" "Turn on the TV," my husband said. "An airplane accidentally crashed into the World Trade Center." I dropped the phone and called to my cousin, "Turn on the TV!" First, there was a never-ending loop of a plane crashing into the World Trade Center's North Tower. My younger son, Dan, now awake, came out of the bedroom. "What's going on?" he said, still in his pajamas and rubbing his eyes. The two of us, Carol and I, managed to mumble something like, "A plane's hit the World Trade Center, and we don't know what's going on or where Josh is." Dan said, "Oh, Josh's office is far away from there." I didn't realize I hadn't been breathing until I heard myself let out a long breath. Then the second plane hit the South Tower. The three of us, Carol, Dan, and me, now all parked on the futon in front of the television set, jumped in our seats. The second plane was proof that this was no accident. Was this a war? A war happening in New York with Josh there and me in Milwaukee? My cousin began to sob. As for me, I was no longer in my body. I was inside my head, chanting, praying, figuring, Josh isn't there. I know he isn't. Josh is alive. I would feel it if he weren't. But I was terrified by the possibility that I could be wrong. The phone rang. I froze in my seat. Should I answer? This could be the call that ends life as I know it. A call that tells me something I don't want to hear. Josh, Josh, I prayed, be safe. I missed him already. The phone rang, and I picked it up. Hello, Mom, I heard. Oh, my God, it's you. It was Josh, and the tears started coming. Are you okay, I said. Yes, but we saw everything from the roof of our building, and they're telling us to stay here in the building. I'm not sure what I should do yet. I said, follow your instincts. If your instincts say to go, then go. Where are you? How far away are you? Josh said, I'm on Liberty Street, a block and a half away. I looked over at Dan. Josh said, I love you. I said, I love you too, honey. My dad always used to tell me and tell my sister almost like a mantra, take care of my girl. And I said, take care of my boy. I'm using someone's cell phone. I got to get off, he said. I think I'm going to run, he said. Trust yourself, I said, and then be careful. And he hung up. I wanted to beam him over or beam myself over there to comfort him. I think it was around then that the towers collapsed. My cousin Carol decided to go back home. People like to be around their families when they feel frightened. To think that one ordinary Indian summer day in Wisconsin could turn into the tragedy of the decade in my New York, and my son could be there while I was here. As we came to learn, thousands lost their lives, and thousands more were to be lost in Iraq. My son later told me he and a bunch of other people ran through the smoke of the collapsed buildings. They ran along the water towards New York's Greenwich Village, coughing and trying to outrun the dust and debris aftermath of the tower's collapse. All the subways were shut down, so Josh couldn't get back to Queens, where his apartment was, until late that night. At least he was alive. After Josh's call, I took my New Yorker shopping cart and went to Sendix right down the street to buy canned goods and bottled water. This is what New Yorkers do in an emergency. At least walking back and forth to Sendix, stocking up on canned goods, felt less disempowering. Oddly, it felt as if I were doing something. I don't think all of it really sank in until years later. I should have visited my son after 9/11. But when we heard the stories about the people who were on the suicide planes, I became terrified to fly. In my head, I would see myself on a plane with terrorists, and I just couldn't go anywhere. Sometimes I wonder, if 9/11 hadn't happened, would things have turned out differently in our little lives? If I'd known that his stepfather and I would divorce, would I have overcome my fear and been in New York with Josh, at least to be comforting after his trauma and the loss of his job? And if I had, would things be different now? After the World Trade Center attack, my son Josh couldn't find a job here in the States. So he moved to Spain and then to France, where he lives now, 10 years later. Whenever I miss him, and I miss him a lot, I tell myself, at least he's alive. I have to be glad of that. September 11th was a day of mass mourning. Some lives were changed in large and tragic ways on that day and in the 10 years that followed. My life and the life of my son Josh were changed in more subtle, almost imperceptible ways. Oddly, I remember a dream I had before Josh was born. The dream was that I had a son with an unusual name. Back then, the name Josh was unusual. I dreamt that there was a huge explosion, that my son survived it. In my dream, there was something else, but I don't remember what. Some other loss the explosion had brought.
Linda Benjamin is a clinical social worker in private practice in Milwaukee. She's been a news broadcaster and has hosted a live call-in self-help show on a New York radio station. Her essay first appeared on this show 2 years ago. I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and I hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for Lake Effect from WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. We're NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh Air is next. It's 11 o'clock.